Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
You know, I'm just looking at 304,000 hours, and I know that doesn't even touch what some of you have done for other people that we couldn't track. There's no way we could have known the amount of hours that you talked on the phone or, ministered to somebody who was struggling or the meals that we know nothing about that were delivered. All those things. I'm excited to be a part of a church where people, they don't just go to church, they are the church. And I'm excited about today. If you're new with us this morning, I want you to know that this isn't going to be like what we normally do. This is more like a family meeting. You know, my dad, we had five kids and my parents, and we would have some times in which they called a family meeting. You know what that was like, right? Usually it was something bad, but sometimes it was something really good. And I think this is something really good. But I'll let you decide on that after we're done. If you're a part of our church, this is for you. Again, if you're visiting, I'm glad you're here. You get to be in on us talking about who we are and what we're about and where we're going. And again, I'm glad you're here. And I want you to know that you're invited to join us. You know, we are talking about what next. But I think it's always important to look back, not just to the last year, but to 20 years ago. I mean, we started in 1998. We're almost 20 years. And for those of you who don't know, it was just a couple of families in a house that decided that they were going to start praying together. And it was amazing to see what God was going to do. It was amazing to be a part of that, but it was terrifying. It was scary. It was overwhelming. But we didn't have to do that alone. You know, 20 years ago, we didn't have a lot of the stuff you were supposed to have. We didn't have children's ministry equipment and a band, and we didn't have video projectors, and we didn't even have a building. We just had a house and a few people. But what we did have was the Word of God. And we had the Holy Spirit living in us, and we had each other. And so over the years, we've kind of put, some different, better sounding words to what we were planning on doing, but it's still the same principles. I want you to know that we started with this vision. We call it our vision statement today. And we talk about it to this day, over and over again, because it's the foundation of who we were all those years ago, and it's still the foundation for who we are today and where we want to go. Our vision statement is, we exist to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. That word, we, implies that we do it together, that the church is God's idea, that though we have a personal relationship with Jesus, Jesus asked us to be a part of a body of believers that work together to do what? To reach the world. That word reach means something to us. A lot of people, they want to build it and they want people to come, you know. We want to find a place where we're comfortable and happy and it's all about us and we know everybody that's there and we want to have everything under control. We decided all those years ago that we were willing to get uncomfortable. We were willing to go to reach for something. We weren't going to get boxed into comfort levels. In fact, over the years, we've said over and over again, we prayed that God would do something here that was amazing, out of control, and bigger than we could possibly deal with in our own strength. And so we prayed that, and then when God did it, we would get frustrated at it, and we'd had to remind each other, hey, don't gripe about it when we ask God to do it. We were going to reach the world, but we didn't just want to reach the world. We wanted to make disciples. So the wording now is a little bit different, but it's the same sort of concept we started with. Our mission statement is we're going to create biblical disciples in relational environments. That word disciple is a big word because Jesus set us out not just to make converts, but to make disciples, to baptize them and teach them. And so we were gonna reach them where they were at, go outside of our comfort zone, but when we reached them, we were gonna baptize them and teach them. We were gonna do life with them. That was our mission statement. And then we came up with a process over the years where we went, all right, when Jesus said, go out into the world and make disciples, he didn't mean go do it any way you want. He meant, what I have done with you guys, I want you to do. So we were like, okay, we know we're supposed to be biblical. We're supposed to be reachers. We're supposed to do it together. We know that we're supposed to make biblical disciples in relational environments, but is there something that's supposed to happen that Jesus did? When he did it, the guys followed it. They lived it out. It worked. Is there something there in the scriptures that we can find? And we came up with what we saw in scripture there. We came up with some words for it, and we called it the SCMD. Share represents Jesus came to share himself with the world, to share the truth, to be the light. The Son of the living God, God the Son, came, and he shared the truth with us, the gospel. Those who accepted the gospel, he invited to connect in relationship with him. So he had 12 disciples and he got them in relationship. Yes, he spoke to the crowds and yes, he did big things, but he also moved them from the crowds into relationship. And in that relationship, he loved them. He modeled for them what it looks like to love God and love others. He said, you know, I know you've been taught this and taught that and handed this and handed that by the culture, but I'm gonna tell you the truth. So in relationship, he connected. But in that relationship, he began to train people to move from being self-centered, it's all about me, to being a servant. We call that the M, S-C-M, minister. He trained his guys by being a model and teaching them to be a minister to others, to minister to the needs of others. Every believer, not the paid ministers and everybody else, every disciple was called to be a disciple and to become a disciple maker, and their attitude was one of service and ministry. Finally, when they had grown as a servant and were capable of taking other people through that process, he sent them out to go reproduce the process, and they did it. They went out and reached the world. They connected in groups where they were biblical disciples were made in relational environments, and they took people through this process of spiritual growth until they took off, and the church expanded and grew. That's our foundation. I want you to know, again, if this is your first year here, you're new with us, and even if you've been here for years, I want you to remind you that every year we come to a series where we remind ourselves who we are, where we came from, and what God wants us to do. I mean, honestly, that shouldn't surprise you. We start that in the 101 class. Everybody that comes to our church and wants to become a member goes through the 101 class. Where did we get that kind of concept from? Well, I'm an athlete, I was an athlete. I might win the Olympics at eating now, but that's about it. I was an athlete. I understand sports. No matter what the sport, they had a meeting every year before the season began, and they sat us all down and they gave us the playbook. And they walked us through it. And they said, here's the attitudes we want you to have, and here's the behaviors that are acceptable on this team, and here's the coaches, and here's our goals for this year. And so to be on the team, we went through those meetings where we got everyone together. Everyone together. See, it doesn't matter how much talent you have. If you don't get everybody together, you don't win. If everybody's not going by the same playbook, then you don't win. And so they took us through that. I want you to hear this. If teams do that, how much more important is it that we do that as the family of God? to say, here's who we are. We also have the 301 class. Every year, people go back through the leadership class, and it goes back through our doctrine and theology and philosophy and how it works, and then it goes back through the job description that you had. Why? Because every year you go through it in a sports team. If you went through it last year, guess what they're going to do this year at the beginning of the year? Same thing again, over and over and over again. Why? Because alignment is so important, and it's so easy to lose. See, coaches know this. A team wins. It takes hard work to protect the team, to get the team to work together, and how much more so for the church. See, we have everything we need in this room to completely jack up everything we touch. We do. It's hard to be together on anything. It's hard to keep a marriage together and be on the same page with your wife or your husband. Can I get an amen to that? Why is that? Well, several reasons. First, we have a sinful nature inside of us. We're broken. Because sin entered the world, we're now contaminated, every one of us. We're broken. We're self-seeking. We're self-centered. Left to ourselves, it's got to be about us. We'll run right over the top of somebody else to get our dream. We'll make it somebody else's fault when we get into a fight. We'll say, you made me do this. Instead of going, I'm an idiot, you exposed me for being an idiot, we'll blame you so that I'm an idiot. I'm not just talking about me here. You do know that. But I am talking about me. We're broken. People are broken. Look around the world, folks. I know oftentimes we go, it's them. No, if we're honest, wherever we go, there we are, and we're our biggest problem. We're broken. Then we live in a culture that just entices you to live out your sinful nature, chase your dreams. They tell you nice little cliche things like, you can't make anybody else happy unless you are happy. So your own personal happiness is the most important thing. And then out of your own personal happiness, of course, then the next thing is, then you'll make everybody else happy. That's not true. That's not true. If your own personal happiness is most important and everybody else wants you to make them happy, they're in the way of you making yourself happy, and they gotta go. And then we have an enemy, a spiritual enemy. And I want you to understand this. The devil doesn't care if you win in a sport. In fact, he'll actually probably help you if you'll make that sport your God and you'll put that sport as most important. He doesn't care if you win in business. He might even help you if you'll make your business your God and you'll worship it rather than Jesus. But when it comes to the church, the devil hates the church because it's through the church the message of the gospel gets out. The devil is at war in particular with the children of God, the family of God, the body of Christ. And so therefore, how much more must we guard, protect, promote team unity? We do this every year and fight for it constantly. And the basics are the most important. I know, you know, in sports you think, well, the job of the coach is to keep teaching you something new all the time, and it's all about knowledge. That's not how it really is. A good coach knows it's the foundational basics that you can do no matter what at any occasion that gets the win. And the foundation of the church, the unity of the body of Christ, is core to our success. And so that's why we stick with alignment. That's our foundation. And we've had to fight for it over the years. And there have been all kinds of attacks last year, the year before that, from the time we started. It's been a war. We've made mistakes. We've messed stuff up. We've fallen down, had to get back up. We've had to fight for unity. We forget about it for a while. That's how we got where we are right now. Because some of us stuck around and battled it out and had to say we were sorry when we were wrong. And had to forgive people who hurt us over and over again. And had to be reminded. And the Holy Spirit had to do some crazy stuff to get us, you know, to remember who this was really about. Not us, him. And because I'm here and you're here, in order for us to meet the next 20 years, I fully expect he's gonna have to do some crazy things to remind us again, because left to ourselves again, we'll forget and we'll jack it up. Well, years ago, this is how it started. We got together a little group and we said, all right, as we raise people up, as we disciple them and they learn to become givers, let's connect people who are becoming givers and servants and ministers and disciple makers with needs in the community. You may not know this, but years ago we went to the politicians and to the police and said, what needs can we meet? To the school districts, what needs can we meet as a church? We don't just wanna be here, we wanna help. And they told us, so we started backpacks for kids that were underprivileged. And we went to the schools and gave away haircuts, and we started a recovery program because they said there was a huge alcohol problem here. And then there are families that were being hurt and because of decisions and past and broken families. So we started a Lifelines program and started giving away food, and people came out of the woodwork and that needed it. And people came out of the woodwork who wanted to help meet the need. And pretty soon we're giving away more stuff than we have money for. So some people say in our church, hey, why don't we start a thrift store, make money and give all the money to the people who are struggling? We'll create an economic engine that helps us with this and missions and everything else. And I'm like, okay, that sounds like a good idea. And it worked. And we started youth programs and children's programs and sports programs. We started all kinds of different things because people got saved. They became ministers. They understood their gifts and abilities could be redeemed. Their past could be still used by God to minister to somebody else. And it made a difference. And then we started raising up guys, and they started being planting churches and campuses. And now we got a North campus that's starting in September, and the Coeur d'Alene campus is packed out. We got more leaders, and we started planting churches all over the place, and then missions all around the world. God did something here because he wanted to. And we got to be along for the ride. Wasn't easy, but it was amazing. It was significant. Now, I don't know, we didn't keep track of all the baptisms in the first several years, but what we can track now is 6,700 baptisms or something like that. And in Kootenai County, today, I want to share with you what the elders and the staff have been praying about. We're coming up on 2020. We're coming up on 20 years in this place. And so we put together what we have prayed about now so that we can present it to you. And we call it the 2020 vision. Again, 20 years we've been here. It's almost 2020. And we're thinking about the next 20 years. What next? The culture has changed. We still believe in raising up people, looking at the culture that we're living in and figuring out how to be a part of the solution, not just griping about the problems. A problem is an opportunity. Jesus comes for the brokenhearted. He comes to reconcile those who are far away. A problem is an opportunity if we understand who we are. Blessed are the peacemakers. Not the avoiders of conflict, not the avoiders of the hard things. We are called to be on mission with God, who came into a war-torn world with an eternal solution. That's what we're called to be. So what next? Well, let me just share with you what we've been praying about and what we are unanimous about. And when this kind of group of leaders who are so strong-willed and it can come together on something like this, we know it must be a God thing. Here's what's on our hearts. We believe right now more than ever, our children and our youth are under attack spiritually and morally in our culture. We've been looking at the headlines and experiencing, you know, my son was a drug addict. So I got to experience all of the onslaught. Many of you have. Many of you are grandparents, you have kids, you have brothers and sisters, you know people. When you look at what's going on, You're looking at pornography now, starting at 8 years old for boys, and the fastest growing segment for pornography right now is young girls. You're looking at all the gender confusion now. They're teaching our kids that there's not two genders, there's 23. They're promoting all kinds of sexual sin and experimentation. The drug issues in our community, being one who saw the underbelly of our community, and after speaking to the sheriff and the people in this area, they say we have a major problem with drug and alcohol abuse in our teen years. And our kids, starting younger and younger. We've got divorced families, kids without influence, too much time on their hands, too much access to the internet. And here's where it all leads. This is the thing that just kills our team. It just kills us. If we have to hear about one more teen suicide in our community, we're gonna puke. It's touched our church here. It's touched our community. It's nationally happening at unprecedented levels. And mental illness, because of lack of relationship, lack of stability, it is at all-time highs. We see the problem, but we're not just called to see the problem. We're called to do something about the problem with the best of our abilities. And that's what we're planning on doing. So, what are we gonna do? And again, after praying about this, for some time now, we have put together some plans and I'm gonna share them with you right now. But I want you to know this. Before we talk about what next, we have to talk about what we're keeping. We are never gonna change. We exist to reach the world for Jesus. We are not gonna change. We are making biblical disciples in relational environments. We are not gonna change SCMD, taking people through the process of discipleship. We are gonna continue to reach seniors. We're not just gonna change and just target one demographic. God wants to save people in all generations. We're not gonna quit reaching recovery or lifelines, folks. We're not gonna quit doing any of those things. We're gonna keep reaching singles. We have an expanding singles ministry going on right now, and there's a lot of singles that need Jesus. But you did hear the national statistics say that 83% of people who came to know Christ did so before age 14. See, 20 years ago, it was 90% came to know Christ before age 18. Which said that we should be reaching kids even then. But in the last 20 years, it's dropped from 18 to 14. If you don't win them by 14, they're so indoctrinated by the culture that they don't listen, they don't hear. That doesn't mean they can't come to know Christ later on, but it means that we had better understand our times and what's going on, and so we are dedicated towards reaching kids. So here's what we're gonna do. Number one, we are gonna be adding a children's facility, a children's wing to this building right here. For the first time in our history, we will have a facility that is dedicated to children. Up until this point, we have had multi-purpose space for everything because we use everything all week long, every day. It's always being used. We don't believe in empty space. But we've never dedicated anything to where when the kids come in or drive on this property, they go, we wanna be there. See, it used to be you win the parents, you win the kids, no more. See, parents are reacting to what's going on with the kids, so now they're chasing their kids, chasing them to every sport, chasing them all over the place. So now we know if we're gonna reach the parents, we actually have to reach the kids. So now we are going to be building this wing with a park out here with a play structure and inside a covered play structure that every kid will come in and go screaming, we want to be here. Here's why we're doing that. Number one, if you're a young family, obviously the kids want to come somewhere, often the parents will take them, whether it's a sport or anything else. But when they do come on the campus, up to this point, I know if you have a young family, you know this. As a grandparent, I now know it in a whole new way. It's not easy to go all over this campus, little ones over there, older ones over there. You've got to walk all over this campus. We're going to consolidate it into this building. Secondly, we learned this last year when we had an active shooter on our campus. Thank God our security team and our children's ministry team were well trained and did an amazing job. What could have been horrible turned out to be great, but we found out real fast. Parents want their children in the same building they are in. Therefore, we will be moving children into this building, where our security team, where our parents know right where they are. Children's ministry. Secondly, we will be moving to this building over here, building 2, and we will be revamping it so that it's useful for teen and young adults for midweek evenings, and on the weekends, we can do more for teens during our weekend service time. We can also do biblical education because we finally have space. But we're also renovating it because we have a Christian school on this campus called Genesis Preparatory Academy that does an amazing job with kids. That school has run out of room. So many kids are coming because of the good job they're doing. Now they'll be using it all day long during the midweek. We'll be using it in the evenings and the weekends. It's a partnership so that now that building is used more effectively. Thirdly, we are starting a sports and ministry program. You know that. We moved Eddie Bateman, a college wrestler and sports coach for the high schools in the area, been on our staff for the last several years, into sports and outdoors ministry. But we are going to be building a sports field that has 3 gyms in it. We are going to be starting leagues for children. Genesis Prep will be using it for their sports program. And then in this area, we have such a shortage of gym space that people have to drive to Spokane to get a gym at 9 or 10 o'clock at night, because we have a growing community and we are vastly underdeveloped in this area. We will make the rest of the time available to the community so that we can make finances on that and help us pay for the project. I want you to imagine this for a minute. Right now, by the way, there will be a wrestling room in that, so nobody beat me up over that. I want you to imagine, we have a coach on our team. We have a bunch of coaches on our volunteer team and in our church. I want you to imagine, I was talking to one of them the other day, and in middle school, about 65 to 70 kids show up to try out for middle school basketball. I asked him how many spots they have available on the team. He said 13. I said, what do you do with the 50-some kids who did not make the team? He says, we cut them. What do those kids do in middle school if they're not busy? Where do they go? What if we make a partnership with the school that says, the kids you cut, we will start a developmental league with coaches who are good at coaching, but we will give them something to do, we will care for them, we will teach them the sport, but most importantly, we will point them to Jesus. Think about it. We have people in our church that are passionate about sports. What if we put that passion together with kids who come from single parent homes or have too much time on their hands and no spiritual influence? Our people grow, they get to use their gifts, and we help meet a need in our community. Rather than complain about the culture, we get in the game. What if we take these kids in flag football? Right now, we're starting our first flag football league in the fall in September. It's already full and we're on a waiting list. Young families, they want their kids to be in sports. We have brilliant coaches in our team here. The parents come. We take care of their kids and show their kids what it looks like to play the sport rightly. Winning is not the most important thing, but winning is good. It's a tool. Sports is a tool. It's not a God. It's a terrible God. You worship that God and it will kill you. You ask me and I'll tell you. It's a tool when it's used correctly. We teach them. I love it. We're going to be revamping this room right here. Right now, it's been a gym. They come down. It's horrible for sound. We have to pick up and tear down the chairs every single week. We're going to be revamping this room so that it's permanent seating. There'll be some movable chairs, but it'll be a room where we can control the sound so we don't have terrible bouncing off the walls. Horrible, you know, our people are so good at doing what they do. I have no idea how they even make it bearable. We brought in engineers. They say this is the worst possible room on the planet to try to control. Thank you for being patient out there. Thank you for the team we have. This hasn't been easy, and they've done a good job, and they're volunteers to boot. We're going to make it so that this room... And listen, folks, we don't just have kids that like sports here. We have kids that could be attracted by the arts, by drama, by music. We're going to turn this into an art school right here on this place so that we can reach those kids, reach those adults. We're going to be starting an outdoors program. There was a time where we had what was called the Adventures Program. Stephen Shella Burley put that together, and we had 200 some odd kids in that program. We're going to be restarting a scouting program that teaches kids how to hunt, fish, connecting people who love the outdoors with kids who need influence, with parents who would like to do something with their kids but don't know how to hunt and fish. We're going to reach this community using worship arts, sports, and outdoors in the name of Jesus. Now, I'm excited about what we can do together. I've seen what we can do together in the past. God did something here that's shot out across the world. Sometimes we're so in it, we don't know what's happening or we don't see the whole picture. I don't expect this to be easy. I know we're gonna need the Lord for it. But I know it's what God has been asking us to do. We prayed about it. We are unified. And I want you to know this. I'm not here today on behalf of the elders and the lead team to ask your permission. We're here to tell you this is the way we think the Lord is leading us. We've heard that, and we're asking you to get on board with us. We're asking you to be a part of the team. So, in this family meeting today, I want to tell you what we would like you to do. Number one, in the back, there'll be a flyer that looks like this. On it is a website. This website answers questions that I know you have. You're going to be asking, how are we paying for this? What's going to happen? What's the timing on this? What's going on? You're going to ask a lot of questions. We put together some information that answers many of those questions, but here's what I need you to do. As a part of this family, I need you to get the answers, take the initiative, go get them, help us share it with a community that we're going to be doing this, but also if you have concerns or worries, then do what you've done for 20 years, those of you who have been here. Let's walk into the room, love each other, and work through our issues, because I don't expect that unity is going to come easy. Number two, I'm asking you to pray. In the last couple months, I have to tell you, it's been rough. As soon as we decided we were going to be going forward with this, it got rough, and it got rough in a hurry. And I actually thought, well, wait a second, maybe we're wrong about this. Maybe this isn't what we were supposed to do. And so I actually started reading back through some of my journals when we were doing the other building projects and starting lifelines and starting, you know, all the recovery stuff and the new campuses and the new church plants. And every single time we decided to take a hill that God was directing us to, the world went crazy. And we started to go, what in the world? And I realized that the devil doesn't like us to be a church that's unified and on the move. And he will do everything he can to stop us. Listen, how hard has he worked to steal the souls of our children and our culture? In the media, through the internet, through the drugs, alcohol, how in the families, breaking up the family. If he's worked this hard to take our children, do you think he's gonna stand by and let us make a move into this area? He's not. So we need you to pray. We need you to understand that when we do something like this, the devil does come hard, and God allows it to a certain extent. He doesn't allow the devil to destroy us, but he allows him to play a part. What part is that? Well, God reminds us that he doesn't want us running ahead. He wants us humble and broken enough to stand right beside him, in fact, right behind him as he leads us in. And sometimes the only way that's gonna happen is if he lets us deal with some attacks. Secondly, it's like hunting. I'm a hunter, you know that. And so I'm getting ready for hunting. That's why I'm trying to lose weight, and I'm looking at all my stuff. And as I get older, and I'm going, okay, that's a lot, tall hill, and I want to make sure I'm not carrying anything in my pack that's too much, because it's heavy enough just carrying this. And when this happens, it's like the Lord's going, all right, let's rearrange what's in the pack. Let's make sure you guys are ready. Let's get people in the right spots. Let's do the right thing. If there's something that needs to be exposed, let's get it out so the devil can't use it right in the middle of the battle. Let's use it now. Let's get it now. So we need you to pray. Pray for us. Pray for this church. Thirdly, we need you to serve. Everybody in this church was saved for a purpose. You weren't saved to sit on the bench. You didn't get saved so you had hell insurance so you can go live your life any way you want. Jesus bought us at a price, and the life we live, we no longer live for ourselves, but for the one who bought us. That's scripture. Some of you are serving, and as soon as you hear about sports and outdoors, you're like, you get excited and you want to leave where you're serving to go over there. And some of you, that's your passion, and that's good. We need some of you to do that. But if everybody leaves the children's ministry, if everybody leaves the youth or teens, if everybody leaves life group and goes over there, then we just meet people where they're at. And once they get saved, we have nowhere to take them for the next step of their spiritual growth. We need you to serve where you're at, knowing that these people are coming. Get ready to grow so that we can reach new people. Some of you used to lead small groups, life groups, but you don't anymore. Maybe you got hurt or frustrated or too busy. It's time to let that go and say, here I am. I am willing to suffer. Sometimes we're like, oh, those poor Christians over there who suffer. They suffer over there across the world. Pray for them. But as soon as we suffer, we're like, nope, I'm not suffering in the name of Jesus. No way. Getting in the field, getting in the game means you have to rededicate your time. You have to be disciplined. You have to allocate. You have to say, I'll get in the game. And when you get in the game, you get knocked around a little bit, sometimes a lot. But we live in the wartime. We don't live in peacetime. There's a battle for the souls of men going on right now. This is our slice of history. And again, we can cry about it and whine about it and complain about it and think if we vote for the right president, he'll fix it all. There's only one president who can fix it all, and that's when President Jesus Christ comes back. We get in the game and we play our part. Lastly, we need you to give. You may not know this, but 20 years ago, that little group of people said, you know, we'll not only tithe, but we'll sell stuff, we'll give over and above, because we want to see God do something here. And they did. For 20 years, some of us have been giving over and above our tithe. And those who have been around here this whole time, you've been through, I don't know how many times, the next thing came and we gave. Some of you got saved, got ministered to, got cared for because somebody else gave. Giving says, I want what Jesus wants. Giving says that it's not about here and now, it's about eternity. Giving says that I'm generous. I know everything I have came from God, and I'm a part of the solution financially. It means being generous and disciplined. I have to tell you, for 20 years, we've been doing this, Lori and I can tell you this, I didn't miss a meal unless I chose to. And yet we were able to be a part of something eternal. And that's the story of so many here. In November, we're gonna say, hey, it's our giving series. We do it every year. We're gonna say, here's what we want. If this is your church, we want you to give. If you've never tithed before, start tithing and watch God do something cool in your life and get to be a part of something eternal too. Some of us are gonna say, I got stuff to sell because I wanna be a part of this. Some of us are gonna say, I'm gonna give over and above my tithe at that point. But we're not gonna do a big, huge campaign and talk about it over and over and over again. I'm not gonna, you know, try to manipulate or maneuver or bring somebody else in. We're not gonna do that. We're gonna be straight up, tell you what the need is, ask you to help, and then let's get up and let's go take the world. We believe where God leads, he provides. That doesn't mean that when we're building the stuff out here, the fields and all the stuff, that doesn't mean that we'll strike oil like the Clampets, I wish. I'm excited about what God's doing, about the sports fields. I'm excited about that. AstroTurf sports fields. Sports all day long, reaching families, meeting young families, seeing people come to know Jesus, knowing full well that when they come in broken, their lives are a mess and it's messy and we gotta get in there and try to help and it's good. We're gonna have to pray a lot and work a lot, but doggone at the end of our life, we will not have been like so many who spent their whole life climbing the wall to get to the top at the end of it and realized they climbed the wrong wall. Today we're gonna close. And again, if you're new with us, this is a family meeting. You got to come, hear what we're about. We would love to have you here. This is where we're going. You got a little glimpse of the playbook. Oh, it's on. For those of you who are a part of this, listen. Again, maybe you step back and you've gotten too busy to serve somewhere. You will never grow the way you were supposed to grow spiritually until you serve. Until you give. Some of you are serving and giving and you wonder if it's made any difference. You get discouraged because sometimes the ones you're trying to help, they don't say thank you. Or you planted the seeds and you haven't seen them sprout at all and you're wondering, did you waste your time? You're right, sometimes people don't say thank you and they're not very loyal. But I can tell you this, there's one who sees everything you do in the name of Jesus Christ, and he will reward you for it. So, hang in there. Don't give up. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for what you've done here. We give you all the credit for it. Thanks for letting us be a part of it. It would have been enough just to save us, but to give us something important to do, thank you for that. Lord, I know there are people here today who are in all different stages. Some aren't believers at all. I pray that they would see you for who you truly are. Sometimes people aren't believers because they've seen Christians act in ways that do not reflect you well. And so they figure you must not be very good if we reflect you that way. Help them to see that you are good, and sometimes we're just poor witnesses. Lord, help us to reveal you to the world for who you truly are. One who loves and meets needs and helps up those who have fallen. Thank you for this congregation who has given for so long and served for so long in so many ways, and bless them, Lord. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're gonna stand. We're gonna sing a song to the Lord. And if you need to pray about anything today, we would love to pray with you.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.